Gasher regarded him narrowly.
You speak just like a little triggy, you do, but you're no pube. I'll set my watch and warrant to that. Where are you from, Squint?
Jake said nothing. Bobbler got your tongue, do he?
Well, that's all right. Tick-Tock will get it all out of you, so he will. He's got a way about him, Ticky does. Just naturally wants to make people converse. Once he gets them going, they sometimes talk so fast and scream so loud someone has to hit him over the head to slow him down. Bumblers ain't allowed to hold no one's tongue around the Tick-Tock man, not even fine young triggers like you. Now get the fuck down that ladder. Hup!
He lashed out with his foot. This time Jake managed to tuck in and dodge the blow. He looked into the half-open manhole, saw the ladder, and started down. He was still chest-high to the alley when a tremendous stone-like crash hammered the air. It came from a mile or more away, but Jake knew what it was without having to be told. A cry of pure misery burst from his lips. A grim smile tugged at the corners of Gasher's mouth.
Your hard-case friend trailed you a little better than you thought he would, didn't he? Not better than I thought, though, Cully, for I got a look at his eyes. Very pert and cunning they were. I thought he'd come out of his juicy little night nudge right smart if he was to come at all, and so he did. He spied the tripwires, but the fountains got him. So that's all right. Get on, sweet cheeks.
He aimed a kick at Jake's protruding head. Jake ducked it, but one foot slipped on the ladder, bolted to the side of the sewer shaft, and he only saved himself from falling by clutching Gasher's scab-rattled ankle. He looked up, pleading, and saw no softening on that dying, infected face.
Please, he said,
and heard the word trying to break into a sob. He kept seeing Roland lying crushed beneath the huge fountain. What had Gasher said? If anyone wanted him, they would have to pick him up with a blotter.
Beg if you want, dear heart. Just don't expect no good to come of it, for mercy stops on this side of the bridge, so it does. Now go down, or I'll kick your bleeding brains right out your bleeding ears.
So Jake went down, and by the time he reached the standing water at the bottom, the urge to cry had passed. He waited, shoulders slumped and head down, for Gasher to descend and lead him to his fate. 23. Roland had come close to tripping the crossed wires which held back the avalanche of junk, but the dangling fountain was absurd, a trap which might have been set by a stupid child. Court had taught them to constantly check all visual quadrants as they moved in enemy territory, and that included above as well as behind and below. Stop, he told Oi, raising his voice to be heard over the drums. Up, Oi agreed, then looked ahead and immediately added, Rake! Yes. The gunslinger took another look up at the suspended marble fountain, then examined the street, looking for the trigger. There were two, he saw. Perhaps their camouflage as cobblestones had once been effective, but that time was long past. Roland bent down, hands on his knees, and spoke into Oi's upturned face. Going to pick you up for a minute now. Don't fuss, Oi.
Oi?
Roland put his arms around the bumbler. At first, Oi stiffened and attempted to pull away, and then Roland felt the small animal give in. He wasn't happy about being this close to someone who wasn't Jake, but he clearly intended to put up with it. Roland found himself wondering again just how intelligent Oi was. He carried him up the narrow passage and beneath the hanging fountain of Lud, stepping carefully over the mock cobbles. Once they were safely past, he bent to let Oi go. As he did, the drums stopped.
Rake, Oi said impatiently. Rake, rake!
Yes, but there's a little piece of business to attend to first. He led Oi 15 yards farther down the alley, then bent and picked up a chunk of concrete. He tossed it thoughtfully from hand to hand, and as he did, he heard the sound of a pistol shot from the east. The amplified thump of the drums had buried the sound of Eddie and Susanna's battle with the ragged band of pubes, but he heard this gunshot clearly and smiled. It almost surely meant that the Deans had reached the cradle, and that was the first good news of this day, which already seemed at least a week long. Roland turned and threw the piece of concrete. His aim was as true as it had been when he had thrown at the ancient traffic signal in River Crossing. The missile struck one of the discolored triggers dead center, and one of the rusty cables snapped with a harsh twang. The marble fountain dropped, rolling over as the other cable snubbed it for a moment longer, long enough so that a man with fast reflexes could have cleared the drop zone anyway, Roland reckoned. Then it, too, let go, and the fountain fell like a pink, misshapen stone.